I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome, everybody, tonight. Next is roll call on the agenda, and we have all council members here tonight. And then 1.4 is citizen input. If you're interested in addressing the council as a whole, raise your hand. I'll acknowledge you. You can come to the platform. We'll give you up to 5 minutes, and give us your name and address when you come up, please. Is there any citizen input? Okay, then I will close citizen input. Do I hear a motion for the approval of the agenda?
So moved.
Okay, Gina first. I have a second. Okay, Dan second. Any further discussion or questions? Okay. Going on. Y'all in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same. Okay, then that passes. Okay, the consent agenda. Do I hear a motion to approve that?
Make that motion.
Ken
second.
Johnson first, Ken Kaler second. Any question or discussion?
Sorry about that.
None? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, the same. Okay, then that passes also. Current business 4.1, public hearing on the petition of annex. Please bear with us as we progress through the technical aspects of the public meeting. This public meeting is now open at 7:02 p.m. and is being held to receive comments on the petition to annex filed by Naomi Hampton on behalf of R.A. Hampton LLC. Darrell, you want to start out there? The staff will now present.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. For the record, Darrell Piercy, city planner. Before you for consideration is a request and a petition to annex property into the city of Othello. You may recall recently we went through this very similar process with the school district property. The property that's before you for consideration this evening is directly adjacent to the school district property and located just to the east. The property itself consists, that's being proposed for annexation, consists of two parcels. Although it doesn't show this map, there's a single parcel located near Cemetery Road at this location, and then the balance of the north half of Farm Unit 100-1 is the property that's in question as in regards to the petition for annexation. In order for the council to approve the annexation, you'll need to take an affirmative action by adopting an ordinance. That will come later on your agenda. And as you indicated, you've already accepted the petition for annexation, which led us to this public hearing. You'll take this opportunity to receive any public input, either pro or con, in regards to the request for annexation, and the council will then determine whether or not it's appropriate for the city to take this action. As we move forward into the ordinance, you'll see that we handle this in a similar manner as to other annexations in the city, where the property will incur all indebtedness of the city, as well as any other matters in which the city has requirements of all property owners within the city, such as driving service, utility taxes, that sort of thing. So without going any further, I'd be happy to respond to any comments or questions as we progress through this process.
Okay, thank you, Darrell. I will now ask for public comment, questions, or objections to be heard from citizens. Please raise your hand so I may recognize you. After I acknowledge you, please come to the microphone, state your name and address for the record, and I'll allow up to 5 minutes. Come on up and give us your name and address.
You want my address too? Is that?
Yeah, name and address.
Okay, my name is Don Gentry, 1729 West Bench in Othello. I am with RE/MAX Real Estate, and we represent the Hamptons in this project. We made an initial attempt to market the parcel outside of being annexed as an entity, a single parcel. And finding no interest, we've decided that our plan B is to annex it into the city, rezone it for residential, and move forward in that manner. And that's basically our approach at this time. And that's all I have to say.
Okay, thank you, Don. Any other citizens like to address the council? Okay. Did the staff want to respond to the comment at all, Daryl? Hi, Don. No?
I have no further comment. Unless the council has additional questions or in search of clarification, I'd be happy to respond.
Okay, since there was, I will now close the public comment section. Does the council members have any comments or questions? Okay, no questions. Okay, thank you, Daryl. Okay, then I will now close the public meeting at 7:06 p.m. Thank you, Daryl.
Thank you.
Okay, 4.2, ordinance to annex property. Daryl?
As I indicated in my previous presentation, the next step in the process of annexation is the adoption of an ordinance, should the council choose to move forward with the annexation. The ordinance before you for consideration sets the zoning on the parcel at R4. That's consistent with zoning in the surrounding area and also consistent with the petition request seeking R4 zoning. Again, this is accompanied by Exhibit A, which is the maps that you were shown earlier that identifies the parcels that will be part of the annexation. And again, it identifies existing indebtedness is what will be taken under by taking upon this parcel upon annexation, and the normal process of filing the annexation process is described in the ordinance as well. So with that, I will let you consider this ordinance and be happy to respond to any questions that you might have.
Questions from the council? Comment?
Yeah. Just a quick clarification for the council. In the ordinance, section 1, we should change Grant to Adams County, and the same in section 4. And then R3 in section 2 should be R4.
I believe the
is that right?
I believe the most recent board docs has that correction.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, I could be wrong.
Different. So the board docs has that work in very good shape.
It was intended to be corrected, but if it didn't make it to board docs.
I got Grant County.
No, we have it right in front of us. It's not there.
Okay. Well, we should change that. I believe the zoning on mine shows R4. I apologize.
Yeah. I just saw Grant County.
Thank you.
It still shows Grant County then. Okay.
I have a question. It's farmed right now, currently, right? Okay, and so if we rezone it, when does this take effect? And if you rezone it, is it unable to be farmed for the remainder of this year?
The zoning will take effect upon the annexation, which becomes effective 5 days from the publication of the ordinance. And then we will go through a proper notification process to the county and to the state. In regards to the agricultural use, that's an allowed use within the R4 zone. They can continue the agricultural use that's on the property until such time that the property is platted and developed.
Good question. Any other questions? Don?
Am I to understand that it cannot be farmed?
No, it can.
No, it can. Daryl just said yes.
It can?
It is. It's zoned R4, which allows farming.
All right.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted clarification just to be safe.
Good question.
Yeah. Okay. So do I hear a motion to annex the Hampton property contained in the petition requested and change it in Grant County to Adams County in it? Okay, Gina first.
I'll second it.
Okay. Ken? Ken Kaler? Okay.
Yep.
Any further questions or discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, the same? Okay, that passes then. Thank you, Daryl.
Thank you.
Okay. Comprehensive plan review. Is that where we're at here? Yes. Mapping exercise, Daryl.
Mayor and Council, you may recall that at your previous study sessions, we have been going through the comprehensive plan process and looking at each individual section as it's been forwarded by the Planning Commission. We were unable to do that at your last study session because of the size and amount of items that were before the Council for consideration that evening. So we moved it forward to your action items, and just again, this will be an informational item before you. And the discussion. So we will be seeking no action from this process this evening. when we brought this issue before the Planning Commission, we identified the boundaries of the city, which are located, you know, here and then around the entire area of the city. Those are the current city boundaries. But the challenge before the Planning Commission and ultimately before the City Council is to determine and try to identify the areas that the city will grow over the next 20-year planning period. And that's an issue that needs to be addressed in the comprehensive plan and would need to be developed into a future land use map so that we can begin to plan for and establish capital facilities plan for that future growth. So as the Planning Commission looked this issue over, there were three needs that were identified by the Planning Commission. One was approximately 240 acres of additional developable residential zone land is needed if we are to meet the population growth that's projected over the course of the next 20 years. So the challenge would be to find areas adjacent to the city where the city could reasonably grow to accommodate that future growth. Now the first thing that we looked at was whether or not that future growth could be accommodated within the existing city boundaries for residential use. And in doing so, we looked at the number of vacant lots, the number of lots that we might anticipate would be redeveloped over the next 20 years, and there simply was not enough land available through that process to be able to identify and meet the needs of the population growth that's anticipated over 20 years. So we'll need to identify additional areas where growth can occur and where the city can expand to accommodate that growth. And what the Planning Commission did was look at the areas directly adjacent to the city boundaries where there are large chunks, sections of vacant land and land that could be easily serviced by city utilities through extensions of those utilities, and also generally land that was in large acreage and was generally held by either single ownership or a number of owners over a large area of land. And what they identified were two sections of land that are both east of the existing city boundaries. One is the area where we've annexed a portion, and we took action this evening to annex an additional portion, and this is where the new elementary school is, and the property right in this area that was the subject of the annexation public hearing this evening. But the Planning Commission indicated that this entire area from the existing city boundaries along the state highways should be considered for future residential development. And this is the area that they felt was most appropriate for residential development, as it was near existing schools, the infrastructure was reasonably available to be extended without a significant additional cost, and that it seemed very appropriate for that residential use. Now there was two exceptions to that. One was the interchange with the state highway at this location, where directly across inside the city limit, that corner is currently zoned commercial. And they recommended that either the corner or the entire strip of land along the road frontage be identified as commercial property, simply because it made sense to have your commercial properties located next to the state highway, as well as it probably would be more beneficial to have the residences removed slightly from that state highway for noise and other considerations in residential development. They also looked at this area just north of that large section that could be an additional area that would be available for residential development as well. So what they generally said was the area east of the existing boundary out to the state highway, with the exceptions of placing commercial zoning where it was adjacent to the highway or at the major interchanges. And again, as we get out to the state highway in this location, that interchange was again one that they recommended be commercially zoned to accommodate that interchange development need. They also indicated that this property, a large piece of property here to the north and east of existing city boundaries, has the potential to be additional residential development up to about this line, coming straight across from our existing residential area. But north of that, in both areas, they felt it would be an appropriate area for industrial use, continued agricultural support, those types of activities, that simply because of the truck route that's located here and the amount of traffic that's already coming through this corridor to serve our industrial areas in this area and commercial areas, that areas along this corridor also made sense to have industrial or commercial zoning. And then again, they felt south of the state highway in this area was an excellent area for additional industrial zoning that would be necessary to support the job base for the additional population growth. So really they were looking at three general areas: residential development here and potentially here, commercial development along the interchanges with the state highways, and industrial development along the existing truck route and to the south of the city where we already have industrial development taking place in that location. Now, there is a slight concern on my part as a planner in that we are beginning to box in the residential development in this area. And if we look out beyond 20 years, we have to begin to ask ourselves, are we going to leap over the highway with residential development? Are we going to try and keep that contained within this man-made boundary that has been established by the two state highways that border Othello on the south and on the east? And so I think that's a fair question that's worth asking. It's probably not one that we're going to be able to completely solve and address through this process, but we should at least be consistent or considering what happens after this next 20-year cycle. If we were to utilize this area for residential development and this area, where is our next area to go beyond that? And in part, we leave that to future generations to decide, because there may come a time when we have an overpass or something at this portion of the state highway, and we don't need to worry about that intersection. Because if you were to begin to introduce residential development on this side of the highway, there would be a concern of a disconnect from the town and the difficulty actually creating that physical contact between the two areas from east to west. So it's something to consider, but it's not something necessarily that you have to address as part of this 20-year plan. Now, the Planning Commission did not feel there was any opportunity for development to the west for a couple of different reasons. One was the railroad that extends down north to south along the western portion of town really sets a man-made barrier in terms of development, and that development will again feel disconnected if there wasn't some kind of connecting corridors beyond just a roadway across that railroad. In communities where you have residential areas, particularly split by railroad tracks, it becomes quite an obstacle, and sometimes an unsafe obstacle, if you're encouraging pedestrian traffic across that area from residential area to residential area. So they did feel that that was a concern. The other is, once you begin to go west in this area, you begin to deal with some natural constraints, primarily wetland issues in that area and ravines that tend to limit the capabilities of development and open up a whole new issue of environmental review that we currently don't have within the existing city boundaries or with development to the east. So they were concerned about the potential of environmental issues as we move farther west for the development. So they really took, early in their discussion, took that area off the table for consideration and really focused their interests and efforts on the area to the north and the areas to the south and, of course, to the east.
Comments or questions from council?
Got a little comment on that. You know, I kind of question what you're talking about west of the railroad tracks. I sat on that planning commission. Bob Carlson and I sat on it for almost a year, working on this thing, probably 15 years ago, whatever it was. And we looked at that situation of what to do with developing west of town, and as far as I know, you don't have a wetland issue. That was man-made water, and that's what the Bureau says, and it's not an issue as far as that. If you go further west, get into Owl Lake and on down through that chain, yes, but in this other area, even Rodeo Lake is not a wetlands issue. And I think we should reconsider that area a little bit, because we've got growth out there, and if we want to ignore it, that's fine. But I don't think we should ignore it because it's part of an issue and it's going to be part of Othello. Everybody says no, but it's inevitable. You're going to leave a donut out there? What are you going to do? I mean, it's part of our growth. And I think it should be considered in your overall planning.
I agree with Ken on that, not only because I grew up out there, but just it's still growing out there. It is part of Othello, whether we want to admit it or not. You know, that whole area is Othello. I mean, yeah, it's got issues, but apparently so do we. So we'll get through it, but it needs to be considered.
Do we know what the state's outlook is on mountain man-made wetlands?
Well, the wetland laws have evolved over the years, and I would suggest that it probably is without question that even though those lands are man-made, if they are, and I don't dispute that, but if they are man-made, I don't think in the view of the definitions of wetlands under the Department of Ecology any longer that makes a difference. There was a time when they excluded specifically man-made wetlands, or temporary wetlands as they called them, but they've since revised that analysis, and now any wet area, whether it's man-made or not, if it's seasonally flooded or permanently flooded, even if it's through diversion or through man-made elements, they view that as a wetland, and under the state law, that I think we would have to treat that as a wetland.
Do we have any other council members that are in favor of having that on the expansion, going west of town?
You know, I agree. Eventually in the future, may not be in our time, but definitely down the future, it will be part of the growth.
Yeah, I would think the same thing, that we have to consider that on the whole program when we do it.
So. And as we do that, do you think just kind of identifying the existing development, or do you want to expand beyond that? Area that's currently developed, how do you think you would see that in terms of including that within the city jurisdiction?
Water District 1 boundaries.
Water District 1?
Yep.
With the expanded boundaries.
With the expanded boundaries.
And you got to take into consideration not only that, but as things grow, you're going to end up close to the golf course. You're going to make that loop one around. I think that whole section should be taken. I don't care how you guys look at it, but people are going to come here. They're going to look at things. And you've got population down there already almost a third of what you got in Othello. So why ignore it? And if it's going to continue to grow, you're going to have another Othello sitting right there. So I don't understand why you guys cannot figure that out, that we don't have that type of expansion going on. I mean, the water's got to be taken care of. The sewer's got to be taken care of. And we worked on this 20 years ago, and here we are up to this time, and all of a sudden we're going to push it back another 20 years? No, not as long as I'm here. No.
And we have ventures now that are, like the Moon Road project, that you're laying a foundation to eventually take, absorb them, without even trying. So it has to be acknowledged.
Okay, any other questions or comments? Okay, thank you, Daryl.
Thank you.
Okay, request to use garage for temporary commercial storage. Daryl again.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. We have a request that has been submitted by a resident on 14th Street who owns a large garage, who was issued a building permit about a year ago for that facility. When that building permit was issued, there was a specific condition placed on the building permit that identified that this was in a residential zone and that the use of the garage was for residential purposes only and was not to be utilized for commercial use. In routine review of the city and driving around, it was noted when the door was open one day, actually by our police department, that the contents of the garage was clearly commercial packaging and retail sales items for a grocery store. And so we contacted the owner and issued a notice of violation and an order of correction for the commercial use to cease and be corrected within 15 days of the notification through our code enforcement officer. The owner of the property came to the city and indicated that he was using the property temporarily for the purpose for storage, and that his current commercial use is under construction. It's currently under construction down on First Street, or a large grocery store, and that his intention is to move that material to the new store when the store opens. We indicated to him at the time that we did not have, as a staff level, did not have the authority to allow for the non-conforming use to continue, that it is a violation of the code, but that if he would specifically request it in writing to the city, we would bring it to the council and make the council aware of the situation and seek some remedy to the problem if the council so agrees. So we're bringing this matter before you for consideration with the property owner's requesting is an additional 6 months to be allow this use to occur within his garage. He's indicated that there are no commercial trucks that go to the site, that all the items that are stored in the garage are brought in by his pickup truck and offloaded into the garage, and that if there's no large semi-trucks or other commercial vehicles coming to the site offloading that merchandise. And in reviewing and observing that area, we would agree that we have not observed any commercial trucks of that nature that have brought the materials in to date. So we believe that, at least on observation, that his manner of bringing that material there is accurate in terms of his description. So he's seeking an additional 6 months while his building is being constructed, and he has assured us that once he has an occupancy permit to remove the materials into the new commercial building, the garage will be cleared of all materials and no future use for commercial purposes will take place at that site. So with that, we're bringing the request to the council and seeking your input and direction on how you would like us to proceed.
You're saying that an additional 6 months, he hasn't had a permit currently, does he?
He does not. We don't know how long that has been utilized. The let's see, that the date on the notice of the violation, I believe, was April 11th. So we notified him 2 days following our reported observance of the violation, and so we don't know how long before that it was taking place. But we do know that it's there now, and he's seeking in 6 months during the course of construction of his new commercial facility.
Have we had any neighbors complain at all or anything like
that?
We
have not received any complaints of any activity, unusual activity taking place at the site or any commercial use. We did have some neighbors that expressed concern when the building was being constructed because of its size and that it was rather large and tall, and they were concerned that it may be utilized for commercial purposes, but they have not given any indication at this point that they've observed that it is being used for commercial purposes. I think it was only through happenstance or a good observation through our police department that noticed the door open one particular day and saw the materials and goods that were stored inside.
Catherine, we've had issues like this come up before where we've had citizens come and request special permission for temporary use that's different than the ordinance. Can we even do that?
Well, you don't really have a mechanism in the ordinance for granting special exceptions to permit a non-authorized use. Usually what we see that allows the council some latitude is when the notice of violation has been issued and the property owner is in the process of rectifying the violation that needs additional time to complete rectifying the situation. That's not the situation in this scenario. He's flat out asking for exoneration from your code requirements to allow an unpermitted use. At the very least, if council was considering extending enforcement to give him additional time, I would greatly encourage you to not allow 6 months, I don't think that's a reasonable period of time from the council's perspective to allow for delayed enforcement.
My feelings on the matter then are, if we can't give other people special permission to, for zoning issues, for use that are outside of their zoning issues, then I don't think we should give it to somebody else.
Any other comments?
I'm kind of in between, because here we encourage growth and new business. Mm-hmm. And mind you, I don't know Mr. Alaniz on a personal level, or I know visibly who the guy is. But ever since this guy has come to town and paid taxes and did good, I mean, as far as I can see, he's done good things. I'm amazed that he stays here, because we've made this guy jump through some hoops. Built a beautiful facility at his home, but hey, you can't use it for basically anything. Park something in there. I'm not saying we should break the rules or bend the rules, but we've got to start looking at some of this stuff. People are going to say, well, why would you come to Othello? I came to Othello and all they did was make me jump through hoops. I mean, I live up in the area, and I probably drive by his house half a dozen times a week anyway. Never have I even seen the door open, to be honest with you. I'm sure if we drove around, we'd probably find garages that have way more stuff than his in it. But for some reason, we seem to scrutinize him because he built this big facility. And that's why I said it is a tough one. You know, where do you draw the line?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily mind giving him a little bit of extra time to rectify the situation, and whether it's to build or move or what, but I don't think we should give him...
6 months is a long time.
Yeah,
I mean, I agree with you.
6 months is a long time, and I don't think we should give him a waiver to go against the ordinances when we can't do it. You know, once we do it for him, we have to do it for everybody.
And he is building a new facility down there on First. I mean, obviously, it's...
Has he gave you any time projection when he went through the process, permitting process on his new facility, when it would...
Well, the permit's been issued. They've poured the footing and the floor, and the rough plumbing is in. And I understand they'll be starting on wall construction, framing construction this week or early next week. I think 6 months is a maximum estimate in terms of the time that it would take before he could move that material. But I think he was concerned that if he asked for 3 months and then had to come back and say, I need another 2 months, that might not be good for him. He wanted to have the window open so he could give you an assurance that he would move the materials as soon as the building was completed and he could occupy it. And perhaps a better way to put it would be, if you're willing to give any consideration at all, would be to suggest that you have this maximum timeline, whenever is appropriate, or whenever the building is completed, you can accept the material. That might be another way to consider it. But he is underway with construction, and depending on how fast his crew works, I suspect that his intention is to be in the facility before the end of the year, without question.
I bet he's in it in 3 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's going.
Yep, that thing's flying.
Look at this a little bit. You know, I think that probably we can maybe waiver this a little bit and go this route. But my thought is, when a situation like this comes up, rather than trying to hide something, we some way ought to present to people like him. If he'd have come to us and say, hey, I need a variance, I need to do this because I'm using my garage or whatever for my storage for my building, it would have been a little different feeling. But when he does things, or anybody, I'm not picking him out individually, but when they do these things without our knowledge and we have to find it out the hard way, then it puts a burden on us. And I think in the future that we could probably put variances. I mean, we put variances on buildings. We put variances on a lot of things to basically bend the rule a little bit. But we don't want it as a habit that we do it all the time. Catherine might be able to explain a little bit what I'm trying to say here, but I think this particular thing that we can probably let him go ahead and have this 6 months. But
I'd like to make sure that council understands the difference in your authority under your current code between a variance on building and structural requirements and infrastructure versus use. When somebody purchases real estate in a residential zone, they're entitled to the zoning protections that come with being in a residential zone. One of the fundamental protections is that there are no commercial activities allowed in a residential zone. So whether or not you have people currently complaining, it can potentially be an issue. This is no different than somebody locating a lawn next door in a zone that doesn't allow livestock. What I would suggest as a way to navigate through what I'm hearing the council's desire so far in discussion to be would, and in light of the fact that the intent apparently is making fairly rapid progress on the building, is to consider delaying enforcement action for a period of, say, 30 days, recognizing that if nothing has been completed within 30 days, it's going to take another 20 days in the enforcement process to even get the legal documents, you know, drafted and served on him to actually take enforcement action. So essentially, you would be looking at almost 60 days out before enforcement action would be a reality. That would keep some pressure on him to be moving forward. And if he can't do it in 60 days, then the reality probably is he needs to find an alternate location until his building is complete. It's not an impossible situation for him to relocate this merchandise to an alternate location rather than in the residential zone. And I think that accomplishes at least partway what council is interested in doing without running afoul of your current zoning code, because you really don't have, other than rezoning the area, you don't have any mechanism procedurally to allow a non-conforming use in the residential zone pursuant to a council motion. It's something that affects other landowners, and they would have an opportunity to have a voice in that.
And I was just going to add that the variance process does not address land uses. It addresses numerical values and other issues associated with the building code, but it doesn't, there's no variance process for a use that's prohibited within a particular zone. So you would actually have to change the code if you intended to allow for that use. There's no variance process for the use itself.
I mean, you look at this a little bit, say some businessman owns a garage, owns his house, say he buys a desk someplace and he stores that in his garage. Technically, he's doing things wrong because it should be at his business. I mean, this might be the extreme of what he's storing there, but technically that person is in violation.
By storing a desk from his office?
Well, yeah, say he goes someplace, he buys a desk, he puts it in his home garage, technically, and is for his store or office or whatever. He's technically breaking the law then, too.
I don't think that the storage of a piece of furniture probably equates to storing retail merchandise that is designed for resale.
Okay.
We can also be asking him to be cleaning whatever is in there now.
Perhaps the way to approach it is to not introduce any additional merchandise, but allow him to liquidate the merchandise that he has through the normal retail process.
Yeah, you could certainly
not to add
decided,
anymore.
I'm sorry.
Well, I just said not to add anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
If you decided to delay enforcement action, you could place conditions on your agreement to delay the enforcement action, such as not add to the inventory on site, that there not be traffic.
kind of agreeable to something like that, that we kind of delay enforcement with the condition that he not add any more product, delete the product that he has in there.
Is there a motion?
To. That'll make a motion.
So do I hear a motion to allow, oops, nope, it's not that way. Catherine, you got a thought on how to make the motion? I'll put it in your lap.
You could consider a motion to delay code enforcement action for a period of however many days on condition that, is it Eleni's? Mr. Eleni's not add to the existing inventory stored on the site, and there are only there need to be any conditions in there in terms of activity. I don't know if there's activity at the site.
I would say that there'd be no activity after the hours of 7 p.m. and no commercial truck traffic.
The neighbors are shared with you or code enforcement officer that trucks have been there between 4 in the morning and 7 in the morning?
I'm not aware of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought maybe the code enforcement officer.
I wasn't aware of that.
Okay.
Okay.
We have had no reports of any commercial traffic coming to the structure, and the owner has indicated that he has been moving merchandise from his existing store by pickup when deliveries come by pickup to the garage, and so there's no semi-truck traffic that's there offloading, you know, crates upon crates of merchandise.
I know you've been down to his current store. It's full. It's very full. In fact, the fire department's on him to try to clear up some of that room too. And
so we have a form of a motion, Ken.
I would like to make a form of a motion.
Wait, Ken's already started. Did you start with Ken?
He's got one working.
Started it, wording it.
So it would be a motion to delay code enforcement for a period of 30 days, conditioned upon that there be no increase in existing inventory and that there be no commercial truck traffic.
And that he could start depleting his current stock in there too. If there's,
if you want to add that in, that would require that somebody monitor that.
For what length of time?
I think 60 days would be
okay.
For my.
Okay, we have Tim Johnson had the motion.
I'll second that.
Gina seconded. Any further questions or discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, the same?
Aye.
Okay, duly noted. Mark Snyder said no. Okay, and we'll move forward then. Okay, cleaning of well number 5, Larry and Eamon.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. At last week's workshop, it was noted that Public Works had gone out to receive quotes for cleaning of well number 6, for removal of the iron bacteria and calcium deposits on the sides of the well hole. The city received 3 quotes from Schneider Equipment in the amount of a little over $19,300, Carpenter Drilling for the amount of $27,450, plus some setup costs. They had to have a pad built, so they're originally building next to the well building. And Blue Star Enterprises in the amount of $78,000, about $350. Schneider Equipment, the apparent bidder, has done work in the city before. They're a well-recognized well drilling and rehabilitation contractor. Last time they did work in the city was for rebuilding well number 5 last year. And he did a good job with what they did. At this point, we're recommending award to Schneider Equipment in the amount of $19,321.38 which does include state sales tax.
Go ahead, Damon.
Share a comment. Aside from the issue of awarding the contract, the question is, and we can do this administratively, but it's really coming from council, do you want the cleaning done before or after? And we're going to have a discussion about putting in the grout at the bottom and resealing it later tonight. The question is before or after. Here are the issues. If you clean before, and whatever you clean falls to the bottom, and then you grout and seal that in, we don't have potentially the same issue of something being sucked up into the pit. However, the problem with that may be that the contractor would say that we have, in effect, changed the conditions, therefore he doesn't have to go back in. But we'll talk about that later. And that's what the public works group would like to see. The issue of doing it after may eliminate the liability. However, you end up with some of the cleaning things in the bottom of the hole. So we would like you to award the bid, and then we, after later discussions tonight, we can figure out which way we want to go. But I did want to bring that to your attention, because it is going to be an issue before or after the grout is put back in the bottom of the hole. So with that, we would ask that you award the cleaning bid to Snyder, and we'll work out the time frame with that.
Comments from Kathy? Are we okay on all that? Okay. So I hear a motion, or any questions or discussion? Nope. Okay. Do I hear a motion to accept the contract to Snyder Equipment Incorporated for well number 6 cleaning?
I'll make that motion.
Regina first, Charles second. Any further question or discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same. Okay, that passes then. Thank you. Okay, consideration of Public Works Trust Fund application. Larry and Eamon.
We'll tag team this one too. Thank you again. At the last meeting, it was discussed that the Public Works Trust Fund has an application period open for funding, that they're doing a few things different this funding cycle, in that there's $15 million available per community out of a $400 million total dollars available throughout the whole state. Public Works Trust Fund for years has been one of the best low interest loan funding sources for communities for public works in the whole state. It is a loan program, it's not a grant program, but interest rates have ranged in the 1%, 2% rate. It used to be depending upon how much match you put in with the project. This cycle, there is no match requirement, and funding can be reduced to about 0.5%, depending upon how quickly it takes to get the project done. They say that if you complete your project within 3 years of monies being available, that your interest rate could be reduced by about 0.5%. If we look at, say, a 1% interest rate, that could then drop the monies down to about 0.5%. The program itself is the traditional water, sewer, wastewater, streets, infrastructure type of projects that most communities look at on a yearly basis. We did check to see if the beautification efforts on Main Street could be included, and they said no. That's not considered one of the typical mainstream type of projects. So we tried, but they said no. We did develop a list in conjunction with Public Works of a number of different projects, some road projects, road reconstruction, some water main, some sewer main, totaling a little over $31 million. Obviously with a $15 million cap. And it doesn't say we have to apply for $15 million, it's just that that's the amount that's available. There is no limit to the number of projects
that the city can apply for. It's an online process, so it really doesn't take too long. There's a couple of considerations. At this point, Public Works Trust Fund people have said there's really no criteria, but we're getting the impression that there's so many people going to be applying that sooner or later there may be some sort of criteria. So what we're putting into the applications, whether a project is shovel ready, whether design is complete or will be complete by the time the monies are available, whether the environmental or archaeological historical preservation work has been completed, any little thing that could get us points, we put into the application. They also have a requirement that by the time the monies are available, the project has to be on an approved either comprehensive plan or capital facility plan. And a number of these projects are already on the city's either water comp plan, engineering, wastewater report, or capital facilities plan. But if there is one that's not on the plan, we'd recommend an amendment to that document to include it. The monies itself would not be available until about spring of next year. Public Works Trust Fund has a long process where they go through and they review all of their applications. The applications are due at the end of this month. They'll make an announcement this fall of what projects they recommend. It then has to go to the state legislature and the governor, and it's approved next spring. The governor typically signs the bill into law around June, and monies are available in that June-July period next year. And with that, if there's any projects in particular council would like us to apply for, we're happy to do it.
I guess I have one question. South Broadway with the new school going in, since we're not going to get the money next spring, we're needing that project this fall, I believe, don't we? At least there's going to be a lot more traffic in that area. 14th, sorry, I said Broadway. 14th.
What's shown here for 14th is the total cost to do full length and width from Cemetery down to State Route 26. Mm-hmm. And if there's a development that pays for a portion of that, then that number obviously could come down. We did also check with Public Works Trust Fund people that if there is a developer working with the city on a particular project, they have no problem, whatever financial agreement the city has works out with developers, it's fine with them. But if the developer, for some reason, goes away, decides not to develop, the city's still responsible for paying that whatever the loan is.
And my question is that one we want to pursue since we really have to have it done before the end of fall, I'd assume? We're not going to be able to get funding.
Right. There would not be funding until next year. And on a lot of these projects, even if the funding's available in 2013, by the time we get design, permitting, the environmental portion done, it would probably be 2014 before construction would start. Which is still okay. They give typically a 4 to 5 year window to complete a project, and we'd still be typically within that 3 year horizon where we could get a better interest rate. But you're right as far as 14th goes. If there's any of these projects that are needed between now and next summer, we may not want to put it on the list.
Don't we already have $90,000 invested in one of these, the SR24 industrial area thing that we did a bunch of planning and stuff? We got it. Isn't that already in the process?
Mm-hmm. We've listed out on three separate line items the mm-hmm. SR24 industrial area. We broke down into water, sewer, and streets storm drainage. A part of the sewer has already been paid for through a previous Public Works Trust Fund loan for design, what they call pre-construction, and also the CDBG grant for the West Moon Street area. So that's brought a portion of this down, and the three together is a little over about 11.5 of which a little over $1 million has already been funded. So yeah, Ben, you're absolutely right. Part of that's already of a project that's been paid for and could garner us points if they get to the criteria system.
What?
Bye.
Well, I'm just looking at this. What do you want? Do you want us to state what we think should be done in these projects, or are we just going to give you a consensus to work on this so we can continue it? I mean, I've got a list here that I can spend probably an hour to explain on each one of these, and I don't think we want to do that tonight. But what I'm saying is, can we make a motion here more or less to a consensus to work on this $15 million so we get it whittled down to what we want to present? Or how do we want to handle it, I guess is what I'm saying.
The window, the driving force is a window. We have to have all the application in by the end of the month. They're online, it's a page and a half, but it does take an hour or so. They say 20 minutes, but it's an hour or so to do each one. So what we would want to solicit before the end of the month, or at least a week prior, is a priority list from the council. And this list is not a priority, by the way. If you'll see one on the right at the top, then we go into some reconstruction projects, then the SR 24, and then the southeast quadrant of the city, which includes water and sewer lines that we've talked about before. So to answer your question, Ken, we need direction from the council on what you want to apply for.
To me, we're given this $15 million figure. We can apply up to $15 million. But that ain't what I'm interested in. I'm interested in what we are capable of repaying and our payments, our debt, to not over exceed our debt load. Because if we could only afford up to $5 million, that's all I want to apply for. And if we apply up to $15 million, and we're awarded it, and we say, oh, we could only afford $5 million of that, it ain't going to be looked at very favorably.
Yeah, we're prepared to address that. I have a short presentation with Dunbride, right, that he's going to review that with the council. If the full council may want to go through that, because it, that's really the crux of, can we repay that? What's our debt load?
Yeah, that's what I'm interested in right now. What are we able to afford for payment?
And that's kind of our understanding, is that we don't necessarily want to commit to this 15 grand, and we don't want to commit to them and then back up and say, oh, we only want five of that, because put a black eye on us that we're not doing that. So
how are you going to decide what five you're going to ask for, because what we're talking here is probably up to 15, right? And everybody in the state's going to be putting in for that $40 million. So in sort of a way, excuse the language, this kind of a crapshoot for what you put in and what they'll say, okay, we'll let you have. So if you go for $5 million, they deny the things that you put in for. What have you lost? You haven't gained anything. It's really tough. I don't know. We'd have to prioritize it a little more than just sitting here for an hour and take a look at it. So, but I think we have like 18 days, minus a week.
Right.
So you got what? About 11 days to get it done. So, and that's, there won't be another council meeting in between that.
There's no council meeting in between.
29th, yeah, but that leaves you no time.
Leaves us a day.
Yeah, so you need to have all that done, then on the 29th we could say, okay, this is the ones we want.
Right, but let me back up and address some of your issues. First of all, Public Works came to us and said, please apply. Virtually assured of getting it, okay, up to 15. Then the question is, where our debt load allows to repay that. Then we come back to your question is, everybody's going to apply for this, so they're going to have more applications where they have money, even though they have first upfront, they said, you're all going to get approved. But you're right, all meetings excessive amounts over and above the limit that they have. So then they're going to put in criteria. We have some really good projects that will give us some super points once they impose the criteria. We've already said we've already put $1 million in the sewer project.
Mm-hmm.
We have some other projects that we're ready for, and being shovel ready is another criteria. So I think we'll fare well. It's just the two questions are, what does the council want as a priority? And two, you got to balance that with our payment ability. And I think you're ready for that, Mike.
First of all, I just
want to
show you an amortization schedule that I have. What I did is I put one of the projects in here at $3.325 million, and it's 2% for 30 years. So the annual payment, the scheduled payment for that would be about $148,500. Now, this same project, you can get a lower percentage of 1% for 20 years. And of course, you pay less interest over that time, but the debt service, the annual debt service payment is a little over $184,000. Okay, that's just one project, a little over $3 million. Now I'll take you to another. think it's really important. I feel that it's really important to prioritize, because I don't think we're going to like be able to pick like three different projects.
Hey, Mike, I believe, did I see somewhere where it's going to take about $800,000, our part of 14th? Is that what you're saying?
Well, when we did the study, what, about 2 or 3 years ago, wasn't it?
Right.
The city's responsibility was about $875,000, I believe, right around there. So the $2 million, $2.1 million, is the whole project. The school, obviously, you can see right now, the school is going to have a good sum of that. And some of them on both sides of the street, because I believe there's a field right by the tower as well. And then Pete Olson, from that point on down to where he's already got the infrastructure in, he'll be responsible for that. I know on the other side of the school going south, I think is that more Hampton property or
Whatever? Yes, Hampton East side.
And that might require a latecomer agreement or something.
The city's obligation is the center lane. There'll be three lanes. The city's obligation is the center lane and some work on each end at the intersection. That's where our obligation comes from. Now, the school, Mr. Olson, have indicated that they're basically ready to start a project and they have a lot to set aside. But like Larry said, we could, if you want to project this out a year, we could apply for the whole thing for the city, get it all done with public works trust fund money, and then if somebody pays us back, they don't care. They just want us to pay them back. So that has no bearing on the ability to qualify for the fund.
God.
So what you're saying, Mike, is we don't have a whole lot of room here. Do you have a figure you feel comfortable with?
Pardon me?
Do you have a figure you feel comfortable with? $200,000 a month or a year or something like that? Or?
Well, right now, we have this $342,000 annually for projects, for capital and capital projects. And I think it has to be council's comfort level. What's the future plans for the city, et cetera, where we have to utilize the building tax fund. And then how the debt service would be big project, how that debt service will offset that.
Okay.
Unless we pick projects that are in the water or sewer, we don't have to worry about this at all. It won't come out of the building tax fund, it'll come out of those funds.
You said one of those will be going away here in a few years?
Yeah, the $113,000 is 5 years, and I believe there's three more left on that. I can't remember for sure, but I believe there's three more years left on that.
Okay, and the Geno debt service for $182,000, that's on the building here?
The debt service down at the bottom of $182,000 is mm-hmm. City Hall, and I believe that's 2016? 2015 or 2006. So this was in
roughly 4 years, 3 to 4 years debt service left on.
And that'll go away.
And that'll go away.
Main Street's going to be around.
So what I'm seeing, if we apply for $5 million, that's going to be stretching us pretty tight for the next 5 years. That's going to be just very little for capital improvements or other projects that we.
But aren't you saying, some of this come out of the water fund, it would be different than what this is?
Right, if you pick projects off of that list that are water project or sewer projects, you wouldn't have to worry about this year.
So like the Spruce Street water main improvements.
Yeah.
Part of that is street overlay, but part of that is water, which would come out of water fund, which would come out of there.
That's correct. Yeah, be funded by that. And then the new well we were talking about, we'd already put money away. We have it in the water fund itself to actually build the well, to dig the well. The thing that we had set aside was the money, the infrastructure to get it into town. included in that number. I think the purchase of the building of the well itself is included in that number. So we could deduct the million off of that number if we got that. So that would be a little wrong. But yeah, those funds are taken care of. Another thing that I have not considered in here. We have reconsidered the transportation business district. If that went to a vote of people for a 0.2% tax increase, then there would be funding every year for the improvement. That would be ongoing. And so this, you could look at this and show a little bit different here. Because currently we use a lot of utility tax funds for the street funds.
So the water sewer things on 24th then would come out of the water sewer funds?
Mm-hmm.
The things on 24th?
That's
on 24?
Right. Yeah, if we
so they won't be, they wouldn't necessarily have to be in this fund.
I think we should focus more on that type of stuff and get more bang for our buck in the long run. Kind of seems like the right way to go.
Yeah, because I think the street fund is going to get annihilated when we start 14th. You know, what can we finance that? I mean, what are we looking at that? Are we going to try to pay cash? I don't know what the council's thinking. You know, those are questions. Is that something we can go out for finance on, or... We have another payment.
We may be able to include 14th in there as the one street project and then prioritize everything else towards the water and sewer.
Yeah. And if that's the case, you can get to that $15 million figure or apply to that level. Like you said, they hold their own, right?
Except for we won't be able to do 14th on this funding source. We need it done now.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can't wait.
We haven't even gotten design yet, have we, on 14th? So by the time we went to even design, bidding, we're running up. We're going to be running up until fall, and I know we can't put asphalt down in fall. So we're looking at spring anyway before we get to that 14th, before we can even put pavement down. It's going to be in the spring. Be realistic. I believe 14th should be a priority. I believe we need to do that right away.
Yeah, safety issues there.
And we have got a source of repayment on that for quite a bit of it with the commitment on that adjacent land owners.
So Larry, if we went to, you said next June is when they would, or yeah, June of 2013, they'd award the money. So could 14th be on that, you think?
They would make their recommendation this fall to the legislature, and the monies would then be available next, probably about June of 2013. And then by the time we would have design, environmental permitting, that would take us through the summer, getting too close to the end of construction season, really to do much construction work. So then construction would have to be done in 2014.
So would we know ahead of time, though, if it's been chosen, the project?
We'd know this fall.
So we could fast track that part. Yes. Then we get the money in June, we could start.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a possibility. Okay.
I personally think that we ought to apply for the 14th and then the SR 24 projects and flow line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd agree with that.
That about hits $15 million. And that puts you mainly in the water and sewer departments. And then one project.
How much is in there, Mike? 15 million, what would be the payment at 1%?
It's water and sewer.
Yeah, water.
He said water and sewer.
He said water and sewer.
Could they afford it?
Yeah, but
could they afford that much?
Yeah.
We want to look at it. See what it's going to do to us.
You're still going
to
have money in water and sewer.
Yeah. Let's take a look. We're talking a lot of money here. Oh, okay.
You may even want to look at half a percent of interest to see the comparison. After 30 years, the debt service on $15 million is almost $670,000.
Oh,
That's about what I come up with.
2.5%. They gauge the percentage on the
$600,000.
Our management, our financial management. We have the highest rating for bond for Main Street that a small city our size could get. That plays in our favor. They are kind of leaning towards saying 0.5%. They couldn't do that, commit to that. That's what they were saying in our meeting.
So I have to come back. Debt service would be about $540,000.
That's too much. If you go to 20, it's going to go up. Jump back to 65.
Seven.
So Larry, as far as water for the city, drinking water I'm talking about here, with well number 6 going back on. And we have wells go down off and on. How are we sitting?
We still need another well. And the well 9 has been talked about being built on the east side of Highway 17, which is why it's so much higher than you think, because it has 2 miles of 16-inch water main to get it back into the city system, including crossing Highway 17, which would have to be by jack and bore.
Didn't the water hole say they throw in
some that much?
They would contribute, the owners of water on 17 are planning to build a hotel there, much like in Quincy. And to get the hotel built, they need water. They said they would give us some monies to help get the water to it, but we didn't negotiate the price yet.
I think we need to drop one of them. Take another look at it.
Well, we do have the $1 million for the well already, so that drops that price already.
Lots?
Well, the SR24, we already have $1 million into that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So there's, that drops that down to 10.
What would it be on 10?
Will they do 30 years at half a percent, or was that where you had to round up to 20 to get the half?
So Mike, you probably don't know this answer, I hope you do, but maybe not. In that fund, the water fund, What is our area that we can be comfortable as far as $400,000 a year? I mean, is there a figure you looked at that maybe can help us?
Well, first of all, the $1 million we have set aside for the well is not in the reserve fund. It's actually in the water fund itself. We have a water reserve fund that I think at the end of this year is going to be a little over $1 million. And we're putting in right around $800,000 to $850,000 a year in reserve. So, and it isn't like the sewer fund. You know, we are looking at the sewer fund for building mechanical facilities, so we are working very hard to build reserves in there. Facility. I think we're, at the end of this year, we'll have over $3 million, and we're putting over $500,000 in there every year. In the water fund, I mean, the water fund could handle, you know, $250,000 to $300,000 a year in debt service. In fact, we've had water studies and economic studies on our rates and stuff, and the water and sewer fund are actually supposed to carry a debt load. And I don't know why they figured that, but neither the water or sewer has any debt. So it's pretty unusual not to have any debt.
So you said 300,000, I'll go high side of what you said. What is that in a 20 year, I guess, at 1%? What would that, can you equal that out?
Well,
1%, 20 years, let's just say.
150,000, that would be very, very reasonable for a water pump.
At 3 million.
Yeah, but that's only at a half. That's only at 1%, though.
Yeah, you gotta go to
1%. That's only at a half percent.
That's what 20 year would be 1%, I believe.
Yes. Probably 1.5.
So 166 to 45. For the water fund, that would be very perfect.
Does that sound fair to the council? Try to look around $3 million in projects? I don't want to guess too far out because we can't predict what's going to happen next year in taxes or anything. I mean, you know.
True.
Now this number is just the water fund.
Correct.
It's just the water.
Mm-hmm. Does that seem fair to look at, about $3 million for the projects in the water fund?
Can I ask some here to kind of clarify my brain? It's kind of slow at thinking sometimes, but say we put 5 million projects. Are they going to come up with a figure of their own? In other words, they're going to say, well, you put in for 5, you're only going to get 3 of that. Or like this 15 million, are they going to cut that down to their way of thinking, or are they going to hold to that line and then we work our way from that? I think it makes a difference on how we present it to them so we know what they're going to do on the other side.
Historically, Public Works Trust Fund has not cut or undercut projects like other funding agencies have. They've taken the estimate that's been put together and they run with that. Also historically, except for a couple of years that the state legislature took all of the money away from Public Works Trust Fund,
right,
the legislature has never messed with the list that they come up with. They've always funded the complete list that Public Works Board has come up with. This is a little bit of a different year. I would like to think they wouldn't do anything like that, but with the legislature always trying to balance the budget, you never know until they actually sign on the dotted line how much of that $400 million will be left and available. But if we take them at their word, they said $400 million available, and they've never messed with the list or the prices that were given to them.
So I have one other question to make sure I understand. If we put 14th Avenue on there into the public trust, and let's say we put the whole project together and ready to go June, because we heard we've been accepted, even though they don't accept it till verbal acceptance, I guess they call it, whatever. Do we get reimbursed for that work ahead of time? Can we get reimbursed out of that money, or are we just out of the money for doing it early? Do you know?
I don't know off the top of my head. Some programs will allow eligible costs up to the time that the monies were approved by the agency. In this case, because it goes to the legislature so much later, I don't know, but we can find out tomorrow with a phone call to them.
Yeah, because I think for ideally, I'm sure we're all thinking the same thing. We need to do this project in the summer when schools close down.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that'd be ideal. We don't want to wait till fall when the buses are trying to go through and everybody's trying to cross the roads, and it'd be a mess.
Another possibility, just thinking out loud, if the city were to fund design ahead of time, regardless of whether it's reimbursable, we could be ready to go to construction in June of next year when the monies do become available, so we could have construction in 2013.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, something like that. So, okay.
Yeah, the design's got to be done anyway, or whether
and since
whoever
we,
funds it.
Yeah, we've got funding partners in the community for this. Perhaps there could be an agreement worked out that the funding partners pay for the design up front, since they've got the money now and the city doesn't. And then when the construction funds are available, the city then pay for that much more of it just to even it out. I don't know if that's the best way to put it, but it would be an agreement would have to be penned by all parties.
It's called creative financing, isn't it?
Mike, you said that, I realize we're putting a lot of money away for that mechanical plan in the future. Did you give us a number on what would be comfortable for debt service and sewer, since we have
at least,
since we have at least one big one on there that's sewer too?
I believe that we're putting about $550,000 a year.
So if we asked to put on the SR24 sewer, which it looks like it's $4 million.
But does that $4 million already include the work that we are presently doing there? And I know we've put almost $400,000 in engineering already.
Yeah.
Does that include that?
A good portion of it already is. I didn't bring it with you.
For a 20-year note, it'd be about 3.1. 30 would be about 155.
Would that be a comfortable?
But your interest rate would be higher.
Interest rate's got to go to 2%. Okay, so is everybody comfortable with 14th Avenue?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Correct?
Okay. Yes.
So 14th, we have consensus on. Now let's go to the waterfront. Are we comfortable trying to stay around 2 million, or do you want to go more than that? We're going to go to 3 million? Is that what we're saying now?
That's okay. What he had on there.
Okay, 3 million?
Yeah.
Okay,
so
do we have a...
Well, 9.
Yeah. So you want to do well 9?
Well, I think one of the things we need to do is SR24, or else we have to go to a 20-year minimum if we don't start construction.
Right, in 5 years.
Or yeah.
Going on to 3 years and
so the SR24 water main is 2 million, so that would be...
So we're saying, okay, 14th, and we're going to do SR24, water?
Water.
Oh, yeah.
And not the well?
I think we got a pretty good and sizable investment already in the SR24 project.
We do.
And we've been trying to work on that project for quite a while.
We don't want to get charged more.
Okay, so SR24, water main improvements that we're talking about?
And I would do the sewer main.
And apply, that'd be 6 million minus a million already, correct? Larry, is that what you're thinking?
Sorry.
They're talking about, council's talking about doing the SR24 water main improvements, which is 2 million, and the sewer main improvements, which is 4 million. So we already done a main of it already?
Yes.
So it's going to be
5 million.
5 million, it's over.
5 million there.
That's my feeling. If we do half of that, in other words, put in 5 million toward that project, and then we'll work out the other details later on that. 2 million into our well number 9, and then take care of 14th Street, and I think that's about all we can handle for right now.
Okay. So Mike, would you put 5 million in there and leave the 1% 20 year? See what that does to us.
5, 6, 7, 8, about 8 million.
Is this all one fund?
That would actually...
Be water.
Water and sewer.
Water and sewer.
It'd be split up between the two.
Water and sewer?
Yeah, we're doing a sewer and a water.
Three in one and two in the other. Two in water and three in sewer.
So it'd be about 300,000 roughly. Okay, everybody comfortable with that?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
The other thing I know that is, Councilmember Snyder was bringing up, is we will save that 3% when we start construction.
Yes.
2 to 5%, which is really a good thing. I can't give you a number, but we will.
Okay, well, good. Okay, Larry, we got something for you. Thank you. Okay, dispatch agreement with Adams County. Chief Dunnigan.
Mayor, members of the council, good evening. The issue that I'm bringing before you tonight is a renewal of a two-year contract that expired at the end of last year. For just a small piece of history, prior to this agreement, the Adams County Sheriff's Office paid the city $75,000 a year for dispatch services to dispatch deputies in the panhandle. When the sheriff became more self-sufficient with his infrastructure, he didn't need us anymore. However, there was still a relationship because Othello is a secondary PSAP, or public safety point, and we have capabilities of taking 911 if the sheriff's office cannot. There, in the history of this contract, there was only one time where some farmer cut a line from Spokane so they couldn't get the 911, so we had to take over as the PSAP, but it was for 3-4 hours and it wasn't a big deal. So there is still a relationship that we still have to monitor by contract. There is no money as far as there's no pay that we pay Adams County and they don't pay us anything. There is a provision in this contract that should Adams County dispatch go down for more than 24 hours, and we have to do that for 24 hours plus, then they will pay us the hourly rate at the highest dispatch salary while that occurs. But other than that, there is not much to it. It's a two-year contract that we need to renew, and authorization to enter into this agreement would be an authorization for the mayor to go ahead and sign for the city so that we renew this contract for the next 2 years.
Questions? Comments? Okay, do I hear a motion that we allow the mayor to sign the letter of agreement?
Make that motion.
Second.
Mark Snyder first, Ken Johnson second. Okay, any further discussion or questions? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, thank you, Chief. Okay, resolution to surplus equipment. Stan.
Yes, we have a number of cell phones, I think we have a list there, that have accumulated over the last few years. And we generally can't get very much money for them on the e-cycling systems. And so I propose that we declare them surplus. We have an advertisement ready to go into the paper for sealed bids. We will take those sealed bids. They'll be opened by the finance director and dispose of them. And whatever telephones are not sold during that sale, we propose that they would be donated to the women's shelters for 911 calls. Basically cleans out my office. We also have on that list a large battery backup system that has deemed to not be functional, sitting in my office on the floor. I would like to have be rid of that. And we also have an antenna mast that was taken down off the roof of Public Works. It has not been, the radio equipment has not been functional for the 4 years I've been here. It is no longer needed, and we put that on that list as well. So I propose that we declare those items surplus and allow us to dispose of them as indicated.
Questions, comments? Okay, do I hear a motion to the resolution to surplus equipment? Just a second, Catherine. Can we give away those?
I was just going to make one comment. I'm not aware of any policy that council has previously adopted on the disposal of surplus property. All you're required to do is get a fair market value for whatever you declare surplus, but if you do not get fair market value, in other words, if it's not saleable and nobody's willing to pay you for it, then the issue becomes how do you dispose of that property? I would suggest that before you start a policy of on a case-by-case basis donating it to any one particular nonprofit or civic organization, that you adopt a policy that directs how a council makes those decisions. We've actually had situations where you get competition for some of the materials, and so it's better to have the policy in place before you start making those donations.
So how would you like the resolution?
I think we could just declare this.
You could declare it surplus and then direct staff to bring it back to you in the event that they don't sell all of the equipment.
Okay, do I hear a motion to approve a resolution to surplus equipment?
Second.
Charles? Gina question. Seconded. Any further question or discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same? Okay, thank you. Okay, unfinished business. Do we have any unfinished business?
I don't know if you guys have noticed, but our Parks and Recs gal works very, very hard at learning and work at this community. And I was like, so there's not much time after hours that I don't run into her at and I'm just like,
mm-hmm. Yes, she is.
She's working really, really hard.
Hit the ground running.
Yeah, absolutely. I just, I'm really impressed with her efforts.
Any other unfinished business? New business? Okay, I'd like to remind everybody our next meeting date is Tuesday instead of Monday, the 29th, to honor Memorial Day, so everybody knows. And Gina's already told us she would not be here. Okay. Come on. Next, we're going to go into executive session. Larry, we'd like you to stay, but council will now adjourn into executive session pursuant of RCW 42.30.110, parentheses 1B. To consider the selection of a site or acquisition of real estate by lease or purchase. The executive session is expected to last half an hour. No action will be taken during the executive session. Also in this executive session, we'll be doing potential litigation. Council will now adjourn into an executive session pursuant of RCW 42.30.1101, parentheses I, to discuss the legal counsel representing the agency matters relating to agency enforcement actions or discuss with legal counsel representing the agency litigations or potential litigations of which the agency, the governing body, or a member acting in an official capacity is or is likely to become a party when public knowledge regarding the discussion is likely to result in an adverse legal or financial consequence to the agency. The executive session is expected to last about 20 minutes. No action will be taken during this executive session.